Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 48, should say ready. Let's ask God to help us as we study His Word together. God, our Father, we ask that Your Word would be speaking to our hearts, that You would use the Holy Spirit to teach us things that would challenge us and things that would change us. For we want to be changed. We want to become more like Jesus Christ. And as we progress down that road of becoming more like Christ, we know that we'll have more joy in our lives. We'll have more peace. We'll have more love for all of humanity. We'll have more love for You, the only living and true God. So use Your Word to carry out the purpose You have for it. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. His name was Bill Stratton, and I really won't forget him. He was a plant manager but he wouldn't really know it. He didn't have a fancy office. He actually had a shared office. There was three people. There was the secretary, the owner, and Bill Stratton in that office. But it's funny because you'd often find the secretary there. You'd often find the owner there. But you wouldn't really find Bill there all that much. The reason being is Bill would be out on the shop floor. And that's what I appreciated about Bill as a leader. And I didn't realize how unique it was. It was 1998, and I just got out of high school. And I took 2 years of machine trades at the vocational school. And so one of my friends at church said, "I know a place you can work as a machinist." And it was for Bill Stratton. So I went to the interview and I got the job. And I think it must have been a month after I graduated that I got the job. What was so unique about Bill is I started out on a cutoff saw. And sometimes I would look over and I would see Bill on the cutoff saw. And then I ran surface grinders there too. And there were days I saw Bill running the surface grinder. And I ran the centerless grinder there too. And even days I ran the centerless grinder with Bill, the plant manager. And it was so unique, and I didn't know it at the time until I got my next job. And the plant manager there, I saw him once a day. And he would walk through the shop and wave at people. And they would go back to the office, and I never really saw him again. Now, who do you think I respected more as a leader? It's a no-brainer. I mean, Bill's position as a plant manager meant he didn't have to be really on the floor that much. Could have stayed in the office. He could have told other people from there what to do. No, instead he'd be out on the floor working like a regular person. So shocking. But when the guy in charge comes and is right there. And I worked differently for Bill than I did, I think, any other person I've ever worked for. It's a little bit of what's happening here in Luke, but you might not see it right away. I read these first few verses already, but I'm going to read them again from Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 36. Be dressed and ready for service. Keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve. We'll have them recline at the table. We'll come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Such good words here from Jesus. His disciples are there. He's speaking to them. A crowd of people is also there. And the idea is of a worker. Be dressed and ready. And this always makes me think, if you have kids, you understand this. And if you've ever had kids, you understand this. But if you don't, I don't think you ever understand this. But when you want to go out the door and you don't have kids, and it depends on, you know, if it's wintertime, I guess you need your coat. So you grab your coat and you walk out the door if you have to go somewhere. If it's summertime, sometimes you just walk out the door. It's very easy. Now, if you have kids, it's a little more difficult because, you know, my son Zach doesn't ever have his socks or shoes on. It's immediately, when he walks in the door, he takes the socks and shoes off, and who knows where they ended up. One ended up here. Can't find the other one. So you got to have lots of shoes around at all times. But my daughter, she's usually got her shoes on, but she probably doesn't want to wear the shoes she has on. So that's a whole other problem. So we've got lots of shoes situations there. But the idea is you can't just walk out the door. Because first, you have to get Zach to put his socks and shoes on, which takes 10 minutes at least. Okay, and then Zoe might have to change her shoes. There's another 10 minutes. She probably won't start until Zach starts, or Zach actually has his shoes on. So you see the time is really going away, and you have to be somewhere. It just doesn't work. So be dressed and ready. I need to read my kids this verse, but you know, be ready to go out the door, because they're not ready. That's not really the point of the verse, though. It's these servants, these workers, are ready for the master to return. Because they're told the master is at a wedding banquet, and he's going to return. And we find out later, it might even be in the second or third watch of the night. So the second watch would have been 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. The third watch would have been 2 a.m. to sunrise. So, you know, it's a wedding banquet. You might get home late. So you got to be ready. And that's what Jesus, that's the point of Jesus. Be ready for service. Keep your lamps burning, which, by the way, is a lot more difficult than just keep the light on. Right? We just turn the switch on, it stays on. Unless the bulb burns out, it's going to be on. But to keep the lamps burning is different. It's a little more challenging. You may have trouble with the lamp. You got to actually light it. There's a fire. There's fuel that's needed for the fire. But what's interesting is when the master comes and knocks on the door, he will dress himself. This is verse 37. He will dress himself to serve. He will have the servants recline at the table, and he will come and wait on him. Wait on them. The roles are being reversed here, and this is a shocking thing in this parable. This would not happen. Okay, the commentator makes the point. Residents of a wealthy estate, such as this parable envisions, were of different ranks. Among them, in descending order, would have been the master, the mistress and their children, the steward, the foreman, the permanent hired staff, and the day laborers were at the very bottom. Oh, I'm sorry. The day laborers and then the slaves. So you have seven ranks. Okay? So the slaves were the lowest. And the master is seen here dealing with the lowest of the low. And that makes his actions all the more amazing and countercultural. Thus, it made me think of Bill Stratton. Because when I was a new hire, what in the world am I doing? I'm working next to Bill Stratton, the plant manager of the place. It didn't seem to fit. I'm actually running the same machine that he was running over here. I think it's always true, though, with good leaders, they're not afraid to go to the least of these. They're not afraid to hang out with the new hires. It's such a lesson for me. Because when you hang out with people that are better than you, you want to take pictures of stuff. You know? At least that's what most people do. You know, if you meet somebody famous, can I get a picture with you? Because then I'll put it up, I'll frame it in my house. Look, I got a picture with so-and-so. He's famous. It makes me look really good. Well, why did they want a picture taken with you? Well, they probably didn't. But, you know, I still got a picture with him, right? I paid him money, all right? I forced him to stand with me. But, you know, it's one thing to hang out with somebody who's maybe more famous than you, maybe more popular than you, maybe more wealthy than you. But am I willing to go to those in the bottom levels of society? You know, whether it be you find yourself in the maybe in the ICU. And maybe it's just me, but I've never seen anyone in the ICU. They're like, yeah, let's get a picture together. I guess maybe if it's the last picture you're going to have with that person, but you don't want to remember them in that state, though, right? It's just so difficult. Or maybe it looks like the homeless guy that just you have suspicions about, you know. Well, why are you homeless in the first place? Are you a bad money manager? Are you addicted to something you shouldn't be addicted to? What's going on there? Maybe it's the one that nobody likes because you walk up to them and they just talk forever. And it really isn't even about interesting things. And you got work to do, and you're thinking, I'd love to listen to you talk, but I can't. Maybe it's the ones that, you know, are struggling with their gender identity. Maybe it's the ones that are the LGBTQT or... You know what I mean? Maybe it's those kind of people that just, I don't understand personally, but genuinely they have a real struggle. See, I'm not really as willing to go to that level. I'm not really excited about it. It doesn't thrill me inside to spend time with those kind of people. But then Jesus did. Jesus would have, and he did. And if that's my goal, to become like Jesus, that's what he's calling me to. He's calling me to that. And saying, yes, you love everybody. That's what I want you to do. I want you to love everybody the same. Because everyone you see is created in my image. In the image of God. Everyone you see, they may have problems, yes. But you've got plenty of problems yourself. But that's the striking part of this parable that I think we can read right past it and not understand that he's serving the lowest people in the household. And really, it's really about being ready. It's about being ready at any moment. And also, this parable speaks to you. Jesus is coming back to the earth a second time. And this verse was in my grandmother's house. You must also be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. She had it on a little plaque on her wall. It terrified me, that verse. And Jesus is coming back at some point. You don't know when. I'm thinking, oh man. What if it's like 5 minutes from now? You know, I just took 3 cookies out of the jar that my grandmother... She probably did know, but I didn't think she did. So she always had a jar of cookies. You know? I'm into that. So I would get those cookies and eat them. But man, if he comes back today, this afternoon... Wouldn't that be something? It's really as possible. So you have to be ready. And there's a whole bunch of good things here in this outline that I cannot read. I'll let you do that on your own. There's another passage. The passage continues on, though, in Luke chapter 12. This is on the very back. I do want to read these parts. We see something here. Jesus talks about someone who is not ready. If we go on in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 41, Peter asked the Lord, "Are you telling this parable to us," meaning the disciples, "or to everyone?" The Lord answered, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It would be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master is a long time in coming.' And then he begins to beat the men servants and maid servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him into pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers." That's a good example of someone not being ready. And man, I thought about that and I thought, how this speaks to our day. We have all these people in positions of leadership. And all these people are misusing their positions. And then they're found out. And quickly removed from their position. So there's quite an example there of not being ready. And he gives two examples. There's a faithful and wise manager who correctly stewards the things that God gave. In other words, he does the things he's supposed to do with excellence. And he gets more things to do. That's kind of how it works. If you're faithful with the little things, I'll give you more. I'll give you more things to do. But if you're not faithful, I mean, these are strong words. And Jesus said these. He said he will cut them into pieces and assign them a place with the unbelievers. I'm like, wow, that's kind of strong language there, without a doubt. That's what Jesus said, didn't I? I don't know. I mean, there's a seriousness there, I think, at least. If you have a position of responsibility over anyone, and you misuse that responsibility, God's not okay with that. I mean, we hate when that happens to other people. So does God. We say that's unacceptable and that person should be judged. That's how God feels. And that's what we have to remember. It's not ours to take the vengeance against people like that. But our position really is to say, God will judge justly. God will make everything right in the end. No one gets away with anything because there's judgment. You have to stand before God. If you escape all the human courts, all the human judgment, all the human vengeance on the earth, you pretty much got lucky for a little bit. And then you stand before God and you got nothing to say. Because he's going to ask you, I just got a question though. You know, I put you in charge of certain things. You misused that responsibility. You took advantage of other people. You mistreated a whole bunch of people. It's not going to work. Now you have to pay the price for your actions. And there's one more section we're going to look at. And I would call this get ready. And Luke chapter 12, verse 47 is, the servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready. And or does not do what his master wants, will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. This is really good. It's dependent on what you know and what you understand. In other words, if you intentionally mistreat people, if you intentionally defraud people or whatever that looks like, abuse, and you know it's wrong, the punishment is greater. If you don't know it's wrong and you do these things, punishment is less. If you've been given much, much will be demanded. If you've been entrusted with much, much will be asked of you. It's just how it works. It's just how things work, and it's how God operates. I think this verse is probably most troubling for the church. Because we know so much of what God requires. We have His Word. And we say, this is what God says is acceptable. This is what God said is not acceptable. And it's, I'll be judged more strictly according to this verse. Because I've had much. I've been entrusted with much. I have a lot of knowledge compared to some about the Bible. There's some certainly that have more knowledge than me, but there's a greater weight to the person who knows and still disobeys. There's a greater weight. And it makes me want to run away. It makes me want to say, I cannot stand before this bar that you set, God. I can't. Because, you know, I deserve many blows, basically. I deserve to be beaten with many blows because of what I know. And that's not encouraging, right? I don't know if you feel like me. That's not encouraging. Here's something that is, though. Jesus Christ was beaten with many blows. So much so that he was unrecognizable in the end. You couldn't recognize that it was him anymore. And the Bible would say it was for my sin, and it was for your sin. Because he knew we couldn't meet the standard here, right? He knew everybody that reads this is just ruined under the standard. That we haven't made the news because we've abused a certain group of people, right? And hopefully we haven't, but the idea is like, nobody can stand up to this. Because even the one who does not know, and he does things deserving of punishment, he's still beaten with a few blows anyway for the things that he did. But see, because we're under grace, because his mercy is so great, because his love is so great for us, he said, I'm going to punish Jesus for your sin. Does that sound like a deal? I don't know. What would you say to that? I mean, if he's going to punish his own son for your sin. And you can go free. You can live the life now you were meant to live. It's hard to watch the Passion of the Christ because you're just not the same. That movie like will tear you up inside. And he's thinking, it's just hard to watch. And it was for me. It was worse than that for Jesus. Than that movie portrayed. It was worse than that, but it was for me. And it was for you. And it was for the whole world. He was paying for all of our sin. Even though we're all guilty, we get to go free. Because the judge, who is God the Father, he's satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus on my behalf. He's satisfied with it. And someday he's coming back. He is coming back. It'll be at a time when I don't expect him. So what's my job? Be dressed and ready for service. Keep my lamp burning. And just wait. Just wait for the knock on the door. I can open the door. It'll be good for that servant who's doing good, who's ready for the master when he comes.